Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 30th. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 156, fifth paragraph. Here was a prospect, all right, reading through three paragraphs ending where we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. We're going to comment on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are Winise N. for the 12 steps, Sherry H. M. for the 12 traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Eileen M., and Penny L. C. Lois P. will be our newcomer reader, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 29th, 2021, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18316. That's 18,316. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the reference number is 18320. That's 18,320. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition stage, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Winise N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Winise.
Good morning. This is Winise, recovered compulsive overeater, grateful, in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this month, and I will pass.
Thank you, Winise, and thanks for your service. All right, I'll now ask Sherry H.M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, this is Sherry H.M., gratefully recovered from Mount Vernon, Washington. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, TV, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Sherry, for stepping in and doing that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 156, the fifth paragraph. Here was a prospect, all right, reading through 3 paragraphs, ending with, we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. We're going to comment on all 3 paragraphs. I will now ask Eileen M. to begin reading. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Here was a prospect, all right, but by the description, none too promising. The use of spiritual principles in such cases was not so well understood as it is now. But one of the friends said, put him in a private room, we'll be down. 2 days later, a future fellow of Alcoholics Anonymous stared glassily at the strangers beside his bed. Who are you fellows and why this private room? I was always in a ward before. Said one of the visitors, we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. Hopelessness was written large on the man's face as he replied, oh, but that's no use. Nothing would fix me. I'm a goner. The last 3 times I got drunk on the way home from here. I'm afraid to go out the door. I can't understand it. So what I get from this is that he admitted he was hopeless, and this is the first step in recovery. So he had been a well-known lawyer, but the last 3 times he left the hospital, he got drunk. And, you know, I've learned in this program that he had what we call the double whammy, which means he had a disease of body and mind. And the Big Book tells us that that is a hopeless condition. And, you know, what I've learned in the program is there's no recovery unless we can make the admission of hopelessness. My first OA meeting, I remember walking in the door. It was 1989, and you know, I didn't know if this program would help me because I had tried so many ways to recover on my own power. And, you know, none of them worked. And, you know, it was suggested to me that I set aside everything I thought I knew so that I could have an experience that I never had before. And, you know, I was brought through the exact method that is described here, you know, in the Big Book, and was used in those days. And there was nothing else that worked for me because I had tried everything in OA. I had used all the OA literature, and that didn't work until I found this particular meeting. And, you know, the other thing that was really difficult was in my face-to-face meetings, I could not find a sponsor who used the Big Book. So it was only when I found this phone meeting that there were just so many sponsors. It was just really wonderful. And I just got the first person, and then I was on my way. So very grateful, and thank you for letting me share. Have a good day.
Thank you, Eileen. All right. So although we value your opinion, we will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Cynthia C.
Rob H.
Cynthia C. Rob H.
Aaliyah F.
Sorry, say that again.
Aaliyah F.
Aaliyah. Okay. Anyone else?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Audrey M.P.
Audrey.
And could you repeat the page number, please?
Sure. We're on page 156, fifth paragraph. We read through three paragraphs.
Lorena K.
Lorena K. All right. Anyone else? Last call. Okay. So I'll tell you who I have. I have Cynthia. I have Rob H., Aaliyah S., Sherry H.M., Audrey M.P., and Lorena K. Good morning, Cynthia. You want to tell your last initial and the state you're from? That would be great.
Thank you so much, moderator. This is Cynthia C., recovering food addict and compulsive overeater from Newton, Massachusetts. So incredibly grateful to be on this meeting. Thank you for your service and everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. I'm just depth of gratitude for being on this meeting today. I'm not able to get onto Vision for You as often as I used to because I've been focusing on another fellowship for a while, which I really need, but this just was what I needed to hear today, just this reminder of being hopeless, of feeling like I was a goner, feeling like how he said, you know, when he would start drinking on his way home from rehab or from the hospital, and it reminds me that while I was in 20 years of relapse of, you know, going to Weight Watchers for 14 of those years, going to Weight Watchers, and, you know, so I was still eating my alcoholic foods, and those foods made me crazy. I mean, really, 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 I was on medication a lot of that time while I was in relapse, and once I got into recovery, was able to go off the medication because it really was, for me, the sugar. The doctor's opinion totally holds true for me. I just think about, like, I would leave Weight Watchers and all set that I'm going to do this week, I'm going to be good. This week, I'm going to be able to get it. And then, like, very quickly being back in the food. You know, you'd buy a box of their treats. It's supposed to last you all week, and it would last me maybe a day. So I'm just grateful. You know, it's not like, you know, I've been in program now for over 4.5 years, and even my worst day in program is better than my best day outside of program. I'm not on those highs and lows from the sugar. I'm just not. And though everything may not be perfect, I am so deeply grateful for everything I have today, and I have 12 steps that guide me in my everyday, and that I get to do 10 steps, that I get to connect in with fellowship, that I get to connect in with my sisters in program, that I get to give service, that I'm just so grateful today that even though everything in my life is not perfect, I get to live in reality, and I get to pray to accept life on life's terms, I don't know, just deeply grateful that I don't have to live in the whirlwind. I don't have to live in insanity, that life is not going to be perfect, but that's okay because it's not meant to be. I think those are the lies and the fears. And all these lies and these fears that were so triggered by being in the sugar. So I'm just grateful. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to hearing everybody. Thanks.
Thank you. So next up, I have Rob H., followed by Alicia S. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, this is Rob H. from New York. I am on the members list. Took a while to do that, but I ended up doing it the other day. Here was a prospect, all right, but by the description, none too promising. I identify with that. I think that probably was me. I don't know how many years ago. It was probably almost 20 years ago that I was in going to school, and it just made me think of all the convenience stores that conveniently got my weight up to, you know, unacceptable to me. You know, I don't know. It's like, I think the reason that I was not too promising was obviously because I was in the food, but it was also my willfulness, you know. It's like, and maybe they feed off of each other, you know, maybe the food makes me think I'm all powerful, and then if I'm all powerful, then I decide whatever, you know, and, you know, that made me not even have a scale in my, you know, in my apartment. I didn't have a scale for a long time, so I could have been higher than whatever, you know, when I finally saw my weight for the first time in a long, long time, and it was, you know, it was 403, and, but I ended up getting a scale finally, and that was probably a little bit of breaking down of my my ego a little bit, the humility. I've been going through some humility these days too. I made a decision to leave my job, and now I'm looking for another one. And I like this sense of fellowship that they're talking about in this couple paragraphs. You know, these guys just go in and help somebody. I was in my other fellowship the other day, and I saw somebody that's like, wow, okay, this guy needs help. I took down his number, and I called him. He was a newcomer, and we talked last night for a little bit, and it was just amazing. It was like, wow. Even the simplest things to me now were the most difficult things that I couldn't do for myself when I first started. So, it was just amazing. I'm so grateful for this program, and I just ask for everybody's, you know, selfishness. Here it is. I pray for everybody to that I act out of faith and not fear. That's what I hope I can have some well wishes for that. It's been a long time since I've been out of work, but. So anyway, I'm grateful for the fellowship. I'm grateful for the meeting. Without this meeting, I don't know where I'd be. You know, I'd probably still be, you know, as, you know, as high as I was as far as the scale goes. So, and I feel like I'm of service these days. And
time, please.
Yeah. All right. I'll stop. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks, Rob. All right. Next up, I have Aaliyah S., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Aaliyah.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah, recovered in California. This last paragraph brought me back to my day one, and I couldn't understand it either, and I was hopelessly defeated. How dark it is before the dawn. No thing would fix me. You know, instead of the last three times, it was like, the last 15 sponsors, you know, I was, how could this possibly work again? I couldn't understand it, but I saw recovery. I saw these recovered people, and they were happy, and they were being useful, and they had hardships in their life, and they weren't eating. And I thought, I mean, it just brought me to my knees. My circumstances just brought me to my knees, and I saw that I'm a single mom, and I needed to go shopping for my kids for their lunches, and I was terrified. I was terrified to go to the store and get them their food because I knew that I was going to eat it all. I had just went shopping 3 days before, and I did not know how I was going to live life anymore. And so I became willing, like the dying can, you know, I became willing to rip the Band-Aid off and say, okay, whatever these people are doing, I'm willing to go to any length. It was as if I was in the ocean and I was drowning, and I said, I'll do whatever. And they threw me the life preserver, and And I said, this is going to be the last chance. This is going to be the last chance that I try this thing. And I did everything. I put myself in a food rehab, essentially. And I did all the things that were asked of me. And every day, my self-will and my thinking bucked and it reared its head. But I said, my thinking got me to my knees and to the darkest point of my life. I can't trust my thinking. I need the fellows. And I leaned on the tools and the action plan and the meetings while I built the structure, while I built the structure of freedom. And now I'm recovered and I no longer fear the food. It's not even a problem. God removed it. And I'm so grateful that this miracle actually happened for me because I did not think it was ever going to happen. So thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much. All right, Sherry H.M., I have you up next, followed by Audrey M.P.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Mount Vernon, Washington, and I spell my name with a C. So grateful to be here. I love you guys. And wow, this person was so incredibly desperate. I was so very desperate with food. I had over $13,000 out of pocket in medical bills every year for lupus and ankylosing spondylitis. And I thought, gosh, maybe I can try another diet, you know, another pain way. And then I remembered my Al-Anon friends had told me about OA. And I thought, oh, wow, that might work because that's remodeling on the inside. But I could not imagine, you know, my ever losing my cravings. It just was not in my, I couldn't fathom that, even though I had a great relationship with God. So I met with my Al-Anon friend. She told me her story, and that was on the way. That was to Starbucks, at Starbucks. And then on the way back, I just prayed, oh, God, you're going to have to do this for me. I can't do it. I've tried so many times. I don't know what to do. So I just sort of threw up my hands, so to speak, and then I started listening to you guys, because we didn't have it on the West Coast except 4 a.m. And I did lots of podcasts, eventually got a sponsor, and I'm just so grateful. It's been 7 years, and what an absolute miracle that God has given me, that I don't crave it. I never believed that could happen. So the steps do work, and I love the line in this book, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. So thank you so much for all your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. All right, next up I have Audrey M.P., followed by Rena K. Good morning, Audrey.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning, Team Thursday. This is Audrey M.P. I'm calling from Southern California, and it is rainy and wet here. I'm so grateful for the rain, the sound of the rain, and I'm so grateful to you. I want to welcome the newcomers, and thank you to the moderator and everyone of service this morning. I did a devotion this morning. Like the thesis of the big book is to find a higher power that can help you with your problem, and I'm really, really devoted to having a bigger, stronger presence of my higher power in my life, because there are some foods that I really need to let go of. I'm abstinent. In my mind, I am entirely abstinent, but I want it to be better. And I worry about that perfectionism thing and what other people do, and I wake up afraid when it says, oh, I lost it, I lost the page. When he says that he was afraid, when he was afraid to leave, because he knows he's going to eat when he's afraid to leave. And it, I used to feel that way when I'd go into a meeting and I'd say, oh, how great my absent was. And then I'd go in the kitchen and I just would ruin the day. Or I'd promise myself, none of that today. We're not having any of that today. And by noon, I've got my hand in the bag or the box. And I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful for hearing how other people's higher power work in their lives, because I want that, and I still I want that, and I really want the. And I'm using these words like devotion and because that's what resonates for me right now. And being of service to our higher power every day and asking him what he wants for us, that is a devotion. And I want that same self-love where I feel I deserve it, you know, and I can... And I can eat clean foods, and I can get on the floor and stretch, and I can talk to a newcomer and have a clear mind that this is a way of life for me, and that I am light years away. I am light years away from where I was 28 years ago with an eating disorder and my head in the toilet and not even being able to nurture myself with food. And I'm so blessed to have that gift today and to share it with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So next up, I have Lorena Kay. But before Lorena Kay, I'll just tell everyone where we're at if you've just joined the lines. Today, we're reading from page 156, fifth paragraph. Here was a prospect, all right. Reading through those three paragraphs, and ending with, we're giving you a treatment for alcoholism. So we're commenting on those three paragraphs. And after Lorena, I'll take more names. Good morning, Lorena.
Oh, hi. It's actually Rowena Kay.
Oh, Rowena.
And
okay.
That's okay. I've just realized I shared in the last 3 days, so I'm going to pass. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. Okay, so let's take some new names. Who would like to share on this?
Roz G.
Ann M.
Roz G and Ann M.
Val W.
Danielle T.
Jordan L.
Danielle.
Lisa B.
Jordan. Lisa. Okay, I'm going to tell you who I have Roz G, Ann M, I think it was Mal, Danielle T, Jordan L, and Lisa B. Anyone else want to share on this? Okay, let's get started and not waste time. So Roz G, you're up. Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to get off speaker. Okay, good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G. And thank you, God. I'm recovered on December 30th, almost through with 2021. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Palmdale, California. And if you hear a little background noise, it's my cute little puppy. She's a little bit rambunctious this morning. Let me move. Okay. And, you know, I wanted to focus on the words spiritual principles. I've heard a lot of sharing this morning, so I'm going to just take it in the direction of spiritual principles. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me how to live a life of spiritual principles. Because, you know, in my pre-unrecovered life, I did not live by spiritual principles. I practiced a religion, but I still lived the way I wanted to live. You know, I was a big phony. I lived a Hollywood, wait, let me grab this from my puppy. I lived a big Hollywood storefront life, and I was phony, you know, and I lived one way. I had a face for you to see, but behind closed doors, you know, I you know, did things in that four-step inventory that, you know, I don't regret today, but because I could share it with sponsees and stuff, but, you know, I was a cheat. I was a liar. I was a thief. I stole change from my mother's Tootsie Roll bank, you know. I did that kind of stuff. And yet I professed to be a Christian, but, you know, no guilt, just facts. And today I live by spiritual principles, you know. And this morning I was reading the doctor's opinion with a sponsee, And it talks about how we live our life on an altruistic and a spiritual plane. And I ask them and I ask myself, do I have a spiritual practice? What does that look like? You know, and because I get up in the morning and I open my big book, I open the Word of God, I light candles, I have my own little individual altar, I ask God to direct my thoughts and my steps every day. And while I'm still human and I still get jealous and I still get angry and all that stuff, I have tools to deal with them. And so my spiritual practice to deal with them is to do 10 steps, is maybe a little 4-step inventory if needed, to pray and ask God to remove it. And it works. It really does. And other ways is helping my mom, looking to see how I can be helpful, you know, when there's family gatherings, looking to see what I can bring to the gathering, what I can rather than what I can take from it, and listening rather than talking so much, you know, and not gossiping about other people, because I still have a problem with that, and it's getting a lot better. But these are spiritual principles for me. Thank you. And I'll wrap up by saying, thank you, Lord. I live by spiritual principles today, because otherwise I'd be right back in the food. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Rajji. All right, Anne M. I have you up next, followed by Mel W. Good morning, Anne. Anne, star one to unmute. All right, well, while we're waiting for Anne, can we try Mel W? I think that's the name that was said. How about Danielle T?
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for chairing this meeting. My name is Danielle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado, and so grateful to be here today and sharing. The words that popped out to me were, put him in a private room. I was always in a ward before, and that was just a sign to me that God had stepped in and tried to save him, and threw him this lifeline through these two men that he had never had before. And he was put in a private room. He was given this special opportunity where these men could come back, and so that he could kind of spend some time alone with his thoughts, with his higher power, with his with everything that had happened, everything he had done, and really spent some time. And I think that's, you know, going forward, how I need to start my day, in a private room, quietly thinking about, at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, thinking about how I spent my day, how I treated others, did I do good for others, and in the morning, you know, how can I best serve God, how can I best serve my fellows. I think of the other words that popped out to me were a future fellow of Alcoholics Anonymous. We never know. I never know who I'm going to help, what I'm going to say that's going to impact someone that then can impact so many other people. I mean, I have that capability. Everyone on this line has that capability. We just never know what our words and our actions will do. And how they'll help other people. So how grateful I am that these two men took this gentleman, put him in a private room and helped him and cared for him, you know, and really taught him these spiritual principles. It was a start for him. And he, I'm sure, went on to help hundreds and thousands of other people. Just such a wonderful trickle effect. So anyway, so grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Danielle. All right.
This is Ann M. Can I jump?
Yeah.
This is Ann M. Can I jump back in? Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody who makes these meetings possible. So what this story screams to me is hope, because this is the guy who beat up two nurses, who had 8 hospitalizations in 6 months, who was a prominent lawyer, who really reached bottom. And so what it means to me is that if somebody at this level of the progression of the disease can recover, and this did become AA number 3. This is a story about Bill D, who never drank again after this experience. So what kind of hope is that for the rest of us? I'm just overwhelmed with, wow. I think bottoms are real personal and different. I think my bottom was probably different from other people's bottoms, but I reached a bottom. This guy reached a bottom. We all reach a bottom. We all reach a place where the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization smacks us. So what a lot of hope this brings to me and all of us, all of us. This guy left the hospital and never drank again. What kind of a miracle is that? What kind of hope is that for everyone? I'm very grateful to be, I'm very grateful to stand on the shoulders of those who came before me, because we have a wonderful hierarchy, a wonderful legacy behind us. Thank you so much for letting me share.
This is Val W.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Val, as in Valerie W., from New Jersey, and this is my first time sharing. Back to the reading, I felt hopeless. I felt hopeless like the guy in the reading, and this was my last stop. I'm glad I didn't give up. They said he couldn't leave the hospital without drinking. I couldn't leave the grocery store or the takeout place without opening up the packages before I got home. I couldn't, and sometimes I'd go to the grocery store and then get takeout because I didn't want to wait to cook when I got home. My eating behaviors were killing me, and I caused them all. I caused all my medical problems from the way I was eating, my eating behaviors. I caused it. So I feel really blessed. I feel like my being here is a miracle. I was actually 12-step by chance. Someone gave me 2 blue AA books to give to an alcoholic in my life. And I started reading them, and I immediately saw myself, and nobody had to tell me to exchange alcohol for food, because it touched my soul. I saw it immediately. I felt it immediately. And thank everybody for all their service and for being here, and thank you for allowing me to speak. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Val W. All right, Jordan L., next up. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. this is a great passage here, right? Here's this guy, a prospect, none too promising. and Bill and Bob are both like, you know, I would call that very like PC language, none too promising, because I'm sure Bill and Bob are both thinking like, there's no way
that this guy's ready. You know, there's no way that he's going to be able to follow through with these 12 steps, you know. Number three, he was like a wild man. He had quite the story. And he didn't have a family or a wife or any of that stuff. Like, he was just a single guy and with seemingly no reason, no motivation for this, you know. And here's Bill and Bob, and they're setting aside their own feelings or their own opinions, and they're going to 12-step this guy anyway, right? Because that's how spiritual principles work. We're not the director anymore. It's up to a higher power and this person, the prospect, whether or not this is for them, you know? And it's humbling for me as a recovered person to lay these tools at someone's feet and be like, here's my experience with them. But you have to pick them up, you know? It's a very, it's a humbling process for both the person who's recovered and the prospect. And I just think about, the people who were humble enough to do that for me. The person, my Evie, who called me over and over again, even after I failed several times at following through with this process, you know, like, she continued to call and kind of check in on me and see where I was at. And the person who offered to sit next to me at my first OA fellowship event, and the ladies that took my hand in Los Angeles at my first OA birthday party and showed me around and brought me to the beach do third steps and all kinds of stuff, you know. that's all I got. Thank you for letting me share and be a part this morning.
Thank you. All right, next up I have Lisa B. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm from Michigan. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for your service, everybody, and for sharing. Awesome stuff. I mean, I'm recovered, but struggling recently. And I know it talks about in the reading about giving away what you have to keep it. But I've also been told that I can't transmit what I don't have. And recently the struggle has been, I just am struggling with the food. I mean, I haven't picked up, but it's bothering me. It's in my thoughts a lot. I've got cravings and things like that. And I'm like, I know that service to others is the key. So I've been going round and round, and I've been lax in my program as far as I haven't been on here listening, haven't been doing 10 steps, been doing any of the things that I know to do. And so because my addiction is telling me, oh, you weren't that bad. You weren't that bad. You weren't that bad. And then it brought it home to me. God pointed it out to me and reminded me of how I was feeling when I first came in here. So thank you so much for everybody that shared. And God's way is always right on time. I'm grateful for that. And I don't know that I have a whole lot to share other than that, but I'm really grateful. I feel better, and like maybe I'm back on track, and I need to continue to listen to these meetings and reach out to people. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa B. Keep coming back. All right, so that brings us to Actually, we probably have time for one more person if anyone would like to take that time.
Aaliyah A.
It's Linda
B. Go ahead, Aaliyah.
Okay, so my name is Aaliyah A. I'm a compulsive overeater based in Montreal, Canada. So when I look at this paragraph, you know, I remember when I first got into OA 5 years ago, I was asking, you know, what does it mean to be spiritual in one of the meetings? I had no idea what it meant. And today I'm so grateful. And the lady who was leading the meeting said, you know, just go through the readings and come to the meetings and you'll understand what it is. She didn't really explain to me, but now I understand that it's something that we have to go through and do. So, you know, this program, and I had to go to a treatment facility to detox, you know, here where they're talking about a private room, and I really wanted to recover because I was in really bad shape. So for me, what comes out in the spiritual principles today is, you know, to look at my part and really to stop blaming others and to look at my, because I can only, you know, ask God to help me with my part and, you know, make amends when I make mistakes. Like now I'm going through a tough time with my teenage daughters, my teenage daughter, and, you know, I need to own up my part and apologize for my mistakes. So for me, this is what stands out in terms of spiritual principle, where I have the tools today to really, you know, live my life in a different way. And this is all thanks, you know, to my higher power and my OA fellows. But definitely what I'm working on and what makes all the difference is, you know, to improve my conscious contact with God and to nurture the relationship. I'm doing now the two-way prayer, which really has been amazing and life-changing for me, you know, to get closer to my higher power and really take action after action every day, you know, follow what my sponsor tell me, and then leave the outcome to God, right? I've been in OA for 5 years, as I said, and I've relapsed, and I just keep doing the work, and it doesn't matter. I keep, you know, getting up and doing the work and following these steps, these amazing 12 steps, and, you know, I've seen a lot of progress. It's not perfection, but I'm just, you know, so much more happy, joyous, and free. So thank you so much for letting me share and for leading the meeting. And I log on almost every day. It's just an amazing meeting for me. And I want to wish everyone a happy new year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to close the meeting now. We'll read from page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Penny LC, will you please read a vision for you for us?
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.